League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waits.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 378. On the podcast today, Nicola Duke, the Duchess of the Chart. She charts 88 Energy, African Potash, MX Oil, LGO Energy, and ADSS. Now, a lot of stocks have been hammered, but, you know, some of them got good assets there. For example, yesterday on the podcast, Stefan from MX Oil, very optimistic about, their potential there with Nigerian and Mexican assets. But on the backdrop of this low oil price, they can't do a lot. It's not company-specific, it's sector-specific. So if you just pick the right companies and hang on in there, I believe this market will rally. When everyone's, when the doomsayers are out there and everyone's starting to believe it, that's where Mr. Market, wrong-foots you and really second-guesses you. Last year, I think the start of the year was a bit dodgy again in the first week of January, first trading week of the year last year was very dodgy. And people said, the economy's, China's in collapse, everything's happening. And all of a sudden, we hit highs in the FTSE in around April. Was it 7,121, 7,121, the FTSE hit. Now it's just flirting with 6,000. So I think, if you are in a good stock, hang in there because use, seasonality to your advantage, because I do believe after we get this first couple of weeks out of the way in January, I think they will rally pretty much on and off up until April. And then, of course, take advantage of the summer, sell a bit, pull back a bit. Don't sell everything, but, if you're up a lot in a bit of stock, de-risk a little bit and then look to go back into it this time next year, almost. That's the way it could be, or towards the end of the year, because that's the way it happens. It's seasonality. This is what happens. Okay, we are seeing a historically low oil price, but I read yesterday, Royal Dutch Shell, for example, they're now cutting even more capital expenditure, pulling back more on future exploration, and all oil companies are doing, all majors are doing this. So if they all do this, what's going to happen? Demand is still growing for oil. Someone said demand's going down. It's not. Demand for oil is still growing slowly. Just at the moment, it's an oversupply. But that supply will come off. And once that happens, it's only one way the oil price can go. Anyway, also on the podcast, I have Your Stock with Potential. This is suggested by listening to the podcast, and by all means, get involved. Go to sharepickers.com and click the link and suggest a stock, fill out the form there, and I could be reading it on the next podcast.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waits.
And joining me on the podcast, first time this year, it's the Duchess of the Chart, the lady with the technicals, Nicola Duke. And Happy New Year to you, Nicola.
Happy New Year, Justin.
Yeah.
hasn't been the best one so far.
No, I'm really bad at remembering, but this time last year wasn't a good start either, was it, I think?
No, and it's seasonally, like if you check your stock trader's almanac, the start of the year isn't really that ominous for stocks, but we've had some years where everybody's been really bearish and expected that, and the market has surprised them. So
what on oil? What's happening to oil? I thought we'd seen a bottom in that, and it's going further down.
I know, and this is all China. That's what's really triggered it this week. We have a massive oversupply. Mm. But unlike, when we sold off in 2008 and oil bottomed, we sold off then because of demand worries. Everybody worried that, there would be no demand for oil. Yeah. This time, the demand for oil is really healthy.
Yeah.
And all we have is a supply glut. So eventually, that will sort itself out. Price is the best solution for that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not going to go down forever, despite what everyone tells
No, I completely believe that. You know, the old saying, financial cliches are, you know, they're strong, aren't they? They ring true. They are cliches for a reason. And that thing, the cure for low oil prices, a low oil price, works. I mean, you can see, I mean, even now, there's a no doubt from, I look at Royal Dutch Shell at the moment, it's hitting its lows. In fact, at the moment, it's breaking below those lows at £14.20.
Yeah.
But like I said, do you know what? They came out yesterday saying now, when they first took on the BG deal, they said they could be happy with an average price of $60 a barrel for the next 15 years. And now they brought that down. They started off at 70, actually, then 60. Now, I think it was yesterday, the day before, they said they'd be happy with $50 a barrel for the next 15 years average. And so they're bringing it down. That's because they're cutting back hugely on expenditure. And that will have an effect on the future supply, you know?
Yeah, they're cutting back on projects. Oil wells are closing. They will close eventually.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that will eventually filter through. Like, it's quite slow. But you know, demand is still healthy. Economies are recovering.
Yeah, do you know what? That's what people get wrong. So, someone on Twitter said, there's no demand. I said, I straight away went to the International Energy Agency website, got a chart for the demand. And demand is growing, but it's being oversupplied at the moment. But like you said, the supply will be sorted out with the low oil price. And like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. It may take another 6 months of this oil price being like that is, or round about this level. And then all of a sudden, I think you will see a sort of re-rating. I don't know the time scales, of course. No one does.
What I think the trigger will be, and this is a good one for people to keep an eye on, is the US dollar, because oil is all priced in the US dollar. Mm. So the US dollar, 74% of the decline in the oil prices has been due to the US dollar being so strong.
Yeah.
Now, in other cycles, when the Fed has hiked rates or tightened, the dollar has usually topped out just before or just after the Fed has started to do that. So if that's true, and we certainly know in the dollar index and every measure, we've got sort of a lower high, and the dollar is potentially topped out now.
Okay. And
if that's the case, then oil should follow, and it does follow it. So
yeah.
If the dollar continues to weaken, then the price of oil will rise.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it because I had a mark. I set a price alert at £14.20 on Royal Dutch Shell. And it's really at that price now. I don't know why I put that there. I don't know why that is. And it's really at that level. And I thought, wow. So, I mean, you know, it's one. But if you look at every chart, on a monthly chart, going back years, it's completely, hugely oversold, you know? And just wonder where the bounce is, where the bottom is. Obviously, there's not a significant bottom. I mean, you won't see the bottom. I mean, when you put a price in it like that, it can go below that, can't it? But bounce back, you know?
I really would caution people not to rush. You know, bottoms take time to form. It's very rare a V-bottom without some kind of outside interference, for example, in stocks when the Fed started quantitative easing. You know, V-bottoms are very rare. Mm. So, you know, oil isn't going to turn on a dime and go the other way, and certainly not when the market is so heavily short. So, you know, you can afford to be patient and wait for it to tell you that it's bottomed.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't have any reversal price action at all in oil yet, but we're in a zone where we could see it. So.
Yeah, cool. So it's good. So keep an eye on the dollar, basically. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, the dollar will do it. Plus, the seasonal factors will come in. You know, in a couple of months, oil usually starts to rally early spring into summer. So that's a very reliable sort of seasonal trend for oil.
Okay.
You know, that would make sense that, you know, we take a month or two to bottom here and then turn.
Yeah.
So, you know, pick out your favourite energy stocks and just be patient and wait for the signals.
Yeah, my favourite energy stocks. At the moment, none of them are my favourite energy stocks. Okay, let's have a look at some individual...
And patience is very hard.
Yeah.
It is really hard.
So let's have a look at some individual stocks. And mostly, I've had these guys on the podcast this week, CEOs and managing directors of these companies.
That's always scary because now that I hope they don't listen when I say something mean.
No, they're busy doing other things, probably.
All right, then.
I sent you a list there. Go ahead. In what order you want to do it in? Which one you go with?
ADSS is the first one you sent.
Yes. Now, these weren't on the podcast. Someone suggested these, actually. This is my second stock for my million-pound penny stock punt, but they've had a nightmare because they've been affected by the oil price as well because they were a service sector, but they've changed their business a little bit. But just waiting for some news on those, but they just seem to be bouncing along the bottom there, don't they?
Yeah, they are bouncing along the bottom, and they are struggling. You know, there's a really key 0.62 is really key resistance. If we close above that, I'd be very, that would put it above the daily 20 and the daily 50 moving average, and then I'd really like this one. But so far, we're very well capped by that 50-day moving average. It's at 0.58 today. If we can get above that, then I really like this. But for now, it's still grinding along the bottom.
Yeah.
So put a price alert at 0.58, see what it does there.
Okay, cool. Next one up, Nick.
The next one up is LGO. LGO Energy, another energy stock.
Yeah, they've been having a bit of a nightmare, LGO. I think they need to raise some cash there. And of course, they're in the energy field there. So what do you think of this? Can you see...
You know, on a weekly basis, this has been oversold mm-hmm. since last, you know, September, October. So, you know, you want to see a bottom. We had a really good try at the beginning of December, and now we're sort of stuck in that weekly range. It is a very narrow range. If we can break out of it, so if we can break the resistance in this one, really at 0.38, that's where the 50-day moving average is as well. Above 0.38, this, you can say that this has potentially bottomed and have a go. But until then, it's still pointing lower.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
All right, no worries. And the next one?
Like, I mean, I think it could. I'd really like to see that 0.135, 0.14, you know, low hold, a nice double bottom, something like that. But for now, it's not a buy, no.
Yeah, okay. Next one then, what you got there?
The next one is MXO.
Yeah, I had Stefan, who was the CEO on the podcast yesterday. They got just about to have producing assets in Nigeria, they have got, and also in the Mexican field there, because they've applied for, as you know, the Mexican energy field opened up to, you know, international investment, and they applied for licenses. They got 4 licenses, so they're going through the, you know, the process of bringing those online and you know, priming the pumps there. So they are going to be producing this year, but they've been hammered, as with all oil stocks, like, you know, they've been hammered. So what do you see here?
What price have you got for MXO right now?
MXO, let's have a look. Right now I've got 1.675 pence.
Yeah, still going down. Like, I haven't got quite a live price. We said last time when we looked at this stock that if we closed below 1.89, it was bearish, mm-hmm. and we did close below there. Yeah. There isn't any support now till 1.57.
Right.
Let's see what it does there.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Sorry.
All right, no, sir. Well, do you know what? That's it. They came on yesterday, quite optimistic, quite bullish about the future. But of course, it's in the background of, you know, against the backdrop of the oil price. You can't do a lot with that, can you? I said, you know, it's not company specific, it's sector Pacific, you know?
There's nothing wrong with looking at these, because, you know, when they do bottom, they're, you know, these stocks are all going to have been hammered. They're going to have great potential. We're just not quite there yet. And believe me, when we get there, I'm going to be shouting really loud.
Yeah, yeah. And do you know what? To be fair, Stefan there, I've had him on a podcast a few times now, and he's a very professional operator. And, you know, I think if anyone, you know, he can turn this around, and he's very optimistic he will. He just says, well, that's it. You know, you just have to deal with the oil price. That's it. But, you know, interestingly enough, the Nigerian oil field there, the asset that goes there, is still making a profit at this level of oil, he said. So that's, you know, it's a good sign. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like, there are some energy stocks that pay a dividend, and some of them, you know, when their price get hammered and they're still paying a dividend, then they become, you know, sort of accidental high yielders, and they're great stocks to look at. But you know, these smaller ones that don't, then it's not... Just, you know, we've got to be patient. Yeah. I promise I will be yelling when oil bottoms, but we're just not quite... We could be there, but we haven't got... the right signals yet.
Okay, what's next?
So we've got one more energy stock to look at, which is 88 Energy, yeah. Which I know is a huge favourite.
Yeah, it is. I mean, do you know what? Like, so I normally put out a tweet asking, so I've got, I had Dave Wall, the managing director, on the podcast, submit some questions. Normally, I can get anything from a couple of questions up to 20 odd, and I said 20 sometimes, frankly, is too much because I can't answer all of them. I had 75 questions for Dave Wall. That's how popular that was. And so, because they're in Alaska at the moment, going through drilling of ice wine, their asset there, and of course they're now in the laboratory situation where they're just analysing.
Now what price have you got for AT&T?
0.355.
Yeah. Now, so we're holding this level. This, the energy stocks, is probably the least ugly. There is the potential that if we can hold that December low, like, and I mean, don't even look below it at 0.31, that we should see another leg higher, because we're making a pattern called a declining wedge. And we could see another leg higher to potentially, you know, I hate saying this, but we could potentially, a little bounce in oil or in this stock could see us doubles to sort of 0.58.
Yeah, nice. Well, it's nice to have a...
And the daily moving average at 0.6. So of them, this is like... Yes, is it still an ugly chart like all the energy stocks? Yes, it is. This one though has the most potential if it can hold on.
Really, it's interesting, because you know what? Within a couple of weeks, there'll be the news from the laboratories, because they're analysing the samples they've had from drilling near Alaska, and they'll know whether it's a commercial find, basically. So, it's all the next few weeks. This will play out within the next month. We'll know whether this is going to be a big, because the asset they have there is in Alaska, is potential to have literally billions of barrels of oil. So,
so I'll send you a chart of this wedge that I've got, and people can have a look at and, do your own diligence, people. But this one, I think, maybe has potential.
Okay, yes, exactly. Do you, and in fact, so where would you advise putting, where would you buy this, and where would your support level be?
Really, you could buy it here, and the support is the previous low at 0.31.
Okay, cool. Marvellous. Yeah. All right, Nick, marvellous. Any other thoughts? Do you have a time frame? That's impossible to say, because, no one in the world really knows when this oil problem is going to correct itself.
No, and it could knock around here, but do I have a time frame for oil bottoming?
Mm.
Yeah, I think we could see a bounce here. In this price zone, like in the low 30s, certainly in Brent oil, the round number 30 lines up with a whole bunch of Fibonacci support that I think could support it. I think that we'll see a bounce and then perhaps a retest of the lows in February, and then a proper rally that will get us going. That's kind of what I'm thinking. But I'm waiting for the price to confirm it. That's just my...
Yeah. But is there a case where you think it can go down further below 30? I mean, because is it Goldman Sachs who said $20 barrel? Is that what they said?
Yeah, everybody's saying that now, low 20s. I'd be really shocked. I'd be really shocked to see it below 28. But
well, I know one thing. If it gets down there, if it gets down there, the rebound is going to be huge in a couple of years' time, isn't it? Surely, because, I mean, so many people will be, pulling their CapEx. It'd be unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. And I remember in 2008, when we got down in the low 30s, sentiment for oil was so poor. I remember in December 2008, the sentiment was so poor when we were down in the low 30s, and it was an absolute bargain.
Yeah, marvellous.
But, we went, that was in December, but January and February, if people go back on their charts and look at an oil chart, January and February, we kind of knocked around those lows.
Yeah.
So we had a really good bounce in January. We tested the lows in February but didn't make a new low. And then we rallied for 6 months really hard, more than doubled. We went from, doubled. We went from $40 to $80.
Yeah.
And so, history does repeat sometimes.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's when you believe it can't bounce back up, when you believe it won't recover, when everyone's given up hope, that's when it does, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's what I mean about, March, April is when it will get going. But, what I'd like to see between now and then is some signs of support in these low 30s. So in oil.
Marvellous. And Nick, if you could send...
And then, they will be if you're patient and time it right and don't get in too soon and then get pissed off with it, then they could be the trades of the year for you.
Marvellous. Nick, can you send me this chart?
Oh,
yeah, go on.
African potash.
Oh, yes, sorry. So AFPO, that's right, yes. Because, I also had Chris Cleverly on the podcast this week, and he's now a non-exec director on another board. So they wonder what's happening
there. Yeah, I really like this one.
Do you?
I do. I really like that we double bottomed in. I really like that we double bottomed in December and the beginning of January. I really like that we've held that Fibonacci 61.8 support at 1.55. We should at least go to 2.35, but the double bottom says that we're more likely to go to 2.85. Oh. So I like this one. You can see that there's a gap support down to 1.8. So, you know, like to see that hold.
Yeah.
Really like this.
Well, if you can buy it just, you know, just a little bit above that gap, you'd be fine, wouldn't you, really? It'd be a nice little support level there.
The gap and the 20-day, you know, 20-day moving average. So we're sort of stuck below the 100-day moving average. It's 2.14. But yeah, no, this one really has really good signs of support. I like it.
Marvellous, Nick. And if you can send me the charts, I'll put them up to shitpickers.com. You can see Nicola's annotation of all these charts. And it's nice to read through. And in fact, listen to the podcast and look at the charts while you're talking about it. So, Nick, thanks very much for that. Speak soon.
Yeah, happy new year, everyone. Good luck.
You didn't sound too enthusiastic. Happy new year.
Yeah, I know. I do mean it, though. I really hope everyone has a really good year.
Okay, today's stock with potential is suggested by Punk Feeling Lucky. Oh, Clint. He's good, isn't he? Eh? Who doesn't like Clint Eastwood, eh? Very talented man there, both directing and acting. anyway, Punk Feeling Lucky has suggested this stock. It's Stratex. STI is the ticker. What does the company do? It's a junior miner. Would you say this company is short, medium, or long-term investment? All three. How many shares does the company have in issue? 467 million. It's below that magical billion mark that I look for in penny stocks. It doesn't count so much on bigger stocks, of course. A lot of people argue with me on this. I've had people say it doesn't matter. A penny, you know, shares an issue, doesn't matter. But what I say to this is, and this is, a lot of this is opinion, but if the same management is in there that was in there at the start of this company when they started issuing lots of shares to raise money, and now the company has billions of shares in issue, it shows they've done a lot of placings, you know? And if they're still not earning money and they're still placing and issuing more shares, then it may continue. So that's what I see it as, you know? So a nice little sort of, almost a little filter that I look at. Okay, current price and market cap, 1.4 pence, 6.5 million market cap. What revenue profit or loss does the company generate? It's just started producing. How much cash or debt does the company have? No debt. Estimated copper using rent cash, 4 million plus. No idea what that means. List three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, this is good work. Punk Feeling Lucky. Good 3 points here. Just started producing low cost oil in a joint venture at the El Tintipi mine. STI pay 0% capex in mine costs. Were estimated at $600 production per ounce before dropping oil. Received 20% of profit until partners recover capex. Estimated 2 years till they receive 45% profit, with production figures due short term, along with it currently being valued cash. Plus 1 year's revenue and no other assets priced in, it's due a short-term re-rate. Number two, CapEx is recovered by their partners. The percentage revenue will move to 45% of profit. It is a long-term investment too. With such low low production costs and high cash, it is robust to winter. Even a further drop in gold, and hence capital should be protected in the meantime. And number three, the company has numerous other assets and has shown it can monetize assets at minimal or no cost. Development at these also provides upside, not priced in, but likely to be more mid-term effects, as nothing immediately expected by me. So that's Stratex there, STI, suggested by Punk Feel Lucky. And by all means, go to sharepickers.com, click the link and suggest a stock, and I could be featuring it on the next podcast. That's it for this podcast, the weekday podcast. There's another one with mates of mine, Pete and Steve, called the Weekend Podcast. We just chat nonsense, essentially, and we do cover a couple of stocks, a couple of opinions, but it's essentially, I'd say, in percentage terms, 75% nonsense. So I do apologise that in advance. But if you could listen to that, it would be much appreciated. As it is, if you got involved, if you suggest a stock this week, if you've been involved in any way whatsoever, even if you listened, I do appreciate it. If you've got any value from this podcast whatsoever, please go to iTunes, give me a 5-star rating and review, and I'll dedicate a podcast to you. I now have 118 5-star reviews there. So if you can do that, I would appreciate that. Much appreciated. Have a nice weekend.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.